The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
All right, guys, we're back. This episode is entitled The Fatigues. In this episode, Jerry and George both, they have issues with mentorship. I'll just say that. Kramer asks for Frank's help cooking for a Jewish singles night, and Elaine promotes a fatigues-wearing Jay Peterman employee because she is too intimidated to fire him. What did you think of this episode?
You know, you put Jerry Stiller in an episode, and he's going to save it no matter how ho-hum it is. And this is kind of a ho-hum episode. Like, there are funny parts to it. The funniest is Jerry Stiller. Like, whenever that guy's on camera, whenever that guy's in an episode of Seinfeld, he steals every single scene he's in. And this time is no different. It's an okay episode. You know, kind of, I don't want to say filler because, like, they're all, like, there's no, like, overarching story, but it's okay. It's not my favorite episode. Apparently, this episode won a Writers Guild of America award.
Okay, that's a fucking. Were they also afraid of the guy in fatigues? Like, what was the logic here? Like, it's very strange. This is a very, in my opinion, this is a very weak episode for this otherwise pretty good season. Yeah, look, I agree with you, Jerry Stiller. Always saves an episode. Not that he needs to necessarily save episodes, but this one, Frank's whole flashback story to the war and everything else is pretty goddamn funny. Like, it's well shot and stuff like that. So I enjoyed that. Yeah, Elaine's story, I didn't really care about that much. Jerry's story is pretty good. Like, Jerry, I guess that's the A story. That's pretty good. And, you know, George is somewhat involved in that. So, yeah, I think it works, but it's certainly not great. So we come to find out, as the episode opens, Jerry has a new girlfriend, of course, named Abby, who has a mentor. And it's very, very weird, right? Because she's like, you know, she's a grown-ass woman. And Jerry just can't understand. He's like, does she, like, what does she do? And also, George also has very similar questions, and she's like, oh, she gives me advice and she's very accomplished and all this other stuff. And she's supposed to be putting this woman on the right path, even though she's like a woman in her clear, like, mid-30s. It's very strange.
So my wife has a mentor. And very, I very much had the same question. Like, well, what does he do? What does she do? Because
I was like, it's a man. I was like,
no, my insecurities will not allow that to happen.
I was like, yeah, he mentored, all right.
So I want to see this mentor. I think her name is Beverly. I'm like, oh, all right. It's not Patrick Beverly, is it?
Right. Like, what kind of haircut she got? Hold on, slow down.
Right. She ain't like that woman we met in New Orleans, is she? Like, all right. And I asked her, I said, what, you know, she's your mentor. She's like, yeah, she really helped me out. And she looked out for me, you know, in terms of, like, getting jobs and stuff like that. And
okay, that's
right. Now they're just friends, right? Like, it's not like this woman who's like, I don't know what to do without somebody telling me. Right. Like, this woman isn't a mentor. She's a life coach. And as we all know, life coaching is bullshit. It is. It's bullshit.
Look, those who cannot do, coach. Like, you're bad at life, time to become a life coach. Like, I can tell you, I have run into many, many people. I'm like, what happened to that person? And then, like, they disappear and they come back. I'm a life coach. I'm like, oh, sorry. Like, what happened? And inevitably, there will be someone listening who is a life coach. We don't mean you. You're different.
Okay. No, I mean you. Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Stop telling people what to do. Just be their friend, for God's sakes. But yeah, she has a mentor, and it just is a weird concept to me.
Extremely weird.
You know, like I can't imagine having a friend that like tells you what to guide you through life.
Like that's you know what, Micah? I'd like to put my head in, throw my head in the ring to be your mentor.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I'm a year older than you. Let me tell you about all the experiences that are coming up. What the fuck? You're like, what am I telling you? That's stupid as shit. Yeah, the lady's not even like 75. Like she's like her like age contemporary. Like it's very weird.
Right. Right.
Makes
like she's old enough. She's old enough to be dating a comedian that Jerry is very familiar with, named Kenny Banya. Yeah. And Kenny and Jerry's like, yo, I can't you can't trust that woman in any type of judgment capacity. Because she's dating Kenny Banya,
the biggest of all hack, people. The biggest hack in comedy. So George comes over and, you know, he's also extremely befuddled by this idea of a mentor. Because he's like, does she get paid? Like, what does she get out of it? Like, oh, respect and admiration. He's like, who gives a shit? I can't even imagine caring about that. George is tasked at his job to give a presentation on something that, you know, he's an expert in. And he has to give a presentation on risk management, which he doesn't know anything about. And Jerry's like, well, why do you have to do that? He's like, I guess it was on my resume, apparently. So he, you know, obviously faked his resume, which is the most George thing ever. And so he's trying to read a risk management book, and he's having no success. So later on, he tries to get it on tape, which is a pretty funny story.
You ever listen to a book?
Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
Like, yeah, okay. It's this is 100% something that is, you know, he's like, it pays off later on in the in the story, but books on tape are fine, or audiobooks, I guess. Books on tape. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, very
good. Fucking old. Audiobooks are cool. I do like them. They're really expensive though, so I don't partake in them a lot.
Not anymore. Spotify just announced, like, they just started. They have all the books on they do books on tape now. If you're a premium Spotify person, they're free.
Oh. All right, well, I'm gonna have to switch then.
Dude, like, I was like, what books they got on there? Got a bunch of bullshit books that nobody want to read? No, like, major books that just came out. I read it, like, in a traditional book with pages, but I'm listening to Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain. I read it years ago, but it's read by him, so it's kind of all his books are read by him, so I'm re-listening to that. But, no, it's all free. It's great.
Yeah, you gotta have someone with a good voice. Because if you don't have someone with a good voice, it's like that meme of that guy pulling the headset off.
I can't listen to this. You know what I tried to listen to before I listened to Kitchen Confidential? Michael Mann has a book, Heat 2. And I was like, oh, I loved Heat. That's a great movie. And I know they're making a movie. I'm going to listen to Heat 2. Well, whoever the fuck they chose for that is the absolute worst person to read it.
Because he's got a gravelly voice like this. Are you ready for what's going to happen?
I was like, I don't like this. I don't. Could you just read it? Like, the voice is so bad. I'll play it on the show at some point. It's fucking terrible. It sounds bad. And it's also written like an asshole wrote it. It's so awful. I hate the way it's written. The book is just bad. Like, just put the movie out. Like, I'm not reading this. Fuck reading. Yeah, but that guy's, like, voice is awful. So, yeah, I know. I agree with you. The voice makes all the difference.
Yeah, man.
So, So from there, Elaine, like, Jerry calls Elaine. He's like, hey, or she calls him rather. And she's like, hey, are you going to this like this party that's coming up? And he's like, yeah, it was a great time. It was 3 days ago. She's like, God, what the fuck? And so she finds out that the invitation for the party was sent to her late because the mailroom at J. Peterman held it. And so she got the mail late, and so she missed the party. So she was going to bring the head of the mailroom up to her office and fire him, which is a totally reasonable thing to do as a boss. Just fire someone because you've been inconvenienced like a couple times. She's a really shitty boss if you haven't picked that up yet over the course of episodes. And so she brings him up, and what she's not expecting is this guy shows up, and he's got like – fatigues on, like head to toe fatigues. He's kind of a weird looking dude. He's got the sleeves cut off of his army jacket, as you do. Now, of course, it looks like maybe he just bought this shit at like, I'm about to show my age, Sonny Surplus.
Sonny Surplus, yeah, because of course, like, fucking old.
Yo, the affordable young people don't know nothing. Yeah, people don't know nothing about that, yo. Like, you could just go buy like military shit at a store. Like, they had everything. Like, it was weird. Like, you could buy guns. Like, you could buy guns and shit. Like, if you've ever watched the movie, what is it, Commando, where he, like, goes to a store and, like, buys a rocket launcher and shit, and that seems ridiculous? Yeah, that's because that was probably a Sonny Surplus, and that shit existed back in the day. It was insane. So, yeah, he looks like a fucking crazy person, and he sounds like he would do the voice for Heat, too. And, and she gets really intimidated because he seems like a crazy person. And she's like, I called you up here to promote you to being on the writing team for J. Peterman, like to write those ridiculous blurbs because she's fucking scared of him. Look, I get it. Now, that guy looks like a nutcase.
You've been in charge of people before. I have too, but never in a capacity where I could terminate their employment. Have you ever had to terminate?
Yes.
An employee.
Yes, I fired two people in my lifetime.
You fired two people. Wow, yeah. Look at you corporate asshole.
No, that's not true. I've had to fire three people.
Oh, so you fired three people?
Yeah, one of them I did not have to fire.
You are a genuine Scrooge. You know that?
It's not something I enjoy doing. The very first time I fired a person, they were a coke addict. So they would come in to work after their weekend bender. Yeah, it's kind of wild. and they would do nothing but like sit with their hat all the way down because they, you know, their brain was readjusting. It's a normal time after doing coke from Friday evening all the way to probably Sunday morning or some shit. I had to fire him because I was like, what's happening? Like, okay. Then I had to fire another guy who got busted. We were working from home just after the pandemic started. I felt pretty good about firing this guy. He was working from home, and this dummy left his phone off mute during our daily conference call. And I heard him say, yeah, I can take you downtown, no problem. And I knew he drove Uber. So this motherfucker was driving Uber on work hours and not doing his job. And so I found out, and I was like, yeah, you're fired. Like, you're done. And then he texted me, I don't know what I did. Blah, blah, blah. He was like, I'm just a man of God. And all I was like, I don't give a fuck. Like,
oh, well, that if I'd have known that, you'd have been gone sooner.
Yeah, like, get out of here. Like, you believe in something? Get out of here. That's enough.
So, wait, you fired him without telling him? You just pulled up
No, the way it works in the – because I was a consultant. The way it works is I have to say this person needs to be fired for XYZ reason to – my higher up who runs the contract, and then they call him and be like, you're fired. Like, they didn't tell him. Like, they didn't, they were like, you're done. I was like, all right, you did. They were like, oh, sorry. Yeah. We forgot to tell him. I'm like, that's all right. Whatever. Like, that's on you. If he sues you, I don't give a fuck. But yeah. So, and then, I had to fire somebody for another reason, and that I felt terrible about that. But
you want them, dickheads that makes people come into work and work a whole day before you let them go?
No, but the last firing I did, I had to come in from working from home, which really pissed me off. Like, come on, dog. Nah.
Can I just fire you over the phone like a normal cow? Like?
Yeah. No, I actually don't. I mean, I wanted to fire the guy who was driving Uber because I was like, dude, I'm not even mad that you drove Uber. I'm mad that you're dumb enough to get caught. Like that, dude, we worked at home for 2 years. This guy got fired a week into the pandemic. A week in. Like, if you had kept this shit quiet, you could have been making money like a motherfucker, dude. Like, tether your phone to your laptop, do a couple of drives, do a couple of calls, take a break. Like, you could have been living the dream. But you're dumb. And if you're too dumb to get around it, you're too dumb to work for me. Like, I'm not mad that you tried to scam it. I'm mad you got caught. No, I was pissed that I had to come in and fire someone new. That I was not pleased about. I'm like, I got to drive 30 minutes to fire you and then drive 30 minutes home. Feel sick to my stomach and shit.
Wait, you didn't just stay there at work? You were already there.
Nah, fuck that. I was working at home that day.
What kind of shit?
Nah, I clocked out. Get the fuck out of here. No, absolutely not. Like, nah. No, I don't like people crying and shit. I hate it. Yo. I hate it. No, I'm not a fan of it. I will, but I don't want to. So, yeah, like you said, when they were at dinner, Abby and Jerry, they run into her mentor. And she's like, oh, my God, my boyfriend is here with me. You guys want to have a foursome for dinner? And he's like, yeah, sure. He's a comedian. You might know him, Jerry. And he's like, oh, really? What's his name? Kenny Banya. He's like, Banya. And then, you know, of course he comes in, that fucking mega dork. And so he has to unfortunately sit and have dinner with the four of them. Then George is riding on the subway and he's sitting next to a guy who weirdly looks like Tyler Perry if he had a shaved head. It was very strange. Like, I thought it was him at first, you know. Like, I legitimately had to, like, watch the scene over again. This is bizarre. But he asks this blind guy who definitely has glasses that I had back in the 90s, which is crazy. It's like, yeah, those glasses are so terrible. But the blind guy is listening to a textbook on tape. And George is like, excuse me, I, you know, can't help but notice that you have this textbook on tape. Like, where'd you get it? And he's like, yeah, so, you know, like, you know, this organization, you know, Reading for the Blind, they can get you anything. It's like, oh, this thing, you know, it's totally ruined me for Braille, right? Which is a reference to a joke George made earlier. And so George's idea is that he's going to go down to he's going to get an eye exam. He's going to flunk it so that he can get all the unlimited books on tape that he can handle. That's one of the most ignorant ass fucking things I've ever heard. But it's slightly genius.
I mean, I kind of love it though. I kind of love it, right? Like, and look, I'd be lying if I said that we didn't like take it. Like, people do it all the time. People do it all the time to get them hanging handicap tags.
No. Slow down before whatever you're going to say next, because I know what it is, because I know you and I've known you for a very long time. What do you mean, people? I think you mean you.
Human beings. Human beings.
Okay.
People who walk the earth.
Okay, tell your story, you piece of shit.
No, I mean, look, my story is fine, right? Because, like, my mom has a legitimate handicap. She is handicapable, okay? And, you know, we take the non-transferable window tags and we transfer them to each other's cars so that we can park in handicap spaces. I've been doing it since college. All right. It was wonderful.
No, you still do it?
I've been doing it since college, right? And it's wonderful. No.
Nah,
look, I got kids. Nah, I got kids, man. I got kids.
Your wife don't have a problem with you driving out.
Have you met my wife? She's from Florida. She's got no problem gaming a system. All right. She ain't that kind of attorney. Okay.
Yo, that is fucking wild. I didn't know you were still doing it. Now, hold on.
It's convenient.
Now, okay. I have a question. I got a question. Do you have two of them? Do you give one to your wife that she has one in her car when you guys are not together?
No. And look, they have two. Okay. I had one for a very long time. But then especially when my parents only had one car, they were like, hey, you can have it. You're the firstborn. You get the first dibs. It's amazing.
On our criminality. That's amazing.
But I had to give it back because like they both got two cars now. And I'm like, well, mom, you shouldn't really be driving. You got MS, you know, that kind of fucks with you. You're kind of stiff. You don't need to be driving. But, nah, she's like, nah, I'm gonna be driving and I need my handicap tag. My father, he is perfectly fine. But he uses it. No.
Yeah, wow. The apple does not fall far from the fucking tree. You guys are both fucking assholes. Well, I mean she ain't in the car.
Ain't nobody else using those spaces. Ain't nobody else using those spaces.
Handicapped people are.
Handicapped people aren't driving to the store, yo. They're not. They're getting people to drive them to the store.
Nah, yeah, you're a piece of shit. Handicapped people don't drive to the store. It's an actual quote. Okay. It's fine.
Those spots, and there's a recent like there's this recent thing where like, oh, please save these spots for pregnant women who, you know, or expectant mothers. Like, nah, yo, I'm if we go into a bye-bye baby or whatever, all right, fine. I will leave the expectant mother spot open. They've got those things around the corner from us in front of a CVS. No, pregnant women aren't just waddling their asses over to CVS. I'm gonna use that spot. And even if they are, guess what? I can walk fast, get in, get out. I'm a man. Men generally know what they want to get when they go to the store.
Wow.
We ain't fucking browsing around. Oh, what's this? Oh, what's this? No, I got to go in. I need some lotion. I come back out. It's fine. Okay. So look, this whole like saving spots for people that ain't going to use them. That stuff got to go, y'all. That stuff got to go.
That's a hell of a rant. That's a hell of a rant. I want that entire rant on your fucking tombstone. I really do. Holy shit, that was really good. So George's trifling ass, he goes to the eye doctor to get an eye exam. He purposely flunks it. And the guy's like, wow, you really are visually impaired. And he goes, okay, can you just sign this form right here? And George has a bit of like pretty good physical comedy where he like touches the guy's face instead of like grabbing the pen. It's pretty hilarious. So he gets his, I guess, prescription or whatever for, you know, being blind. Meanwhile, Kramer is trying to cook dinner for like 200 Jewish people for a Jewish singles night. But of course, he's a moron, so this is really difficult. And for some reason, he's got bread in a colander. Like, it's, I don't know. Everything is stupid. So he's trying to do that. He's hoping that Frank will help him, but Frank refuses to cook. But we don't know why just yet. Jerry has a conversation with Abby, and he's like, you can't trust this woman. Like, she's dating a hack. And she's like, she wouldn't date a hack. And he's like, is dating a hack? Like, get the fuck out of here. And so she's kind of offended by it. Meanwhile, we get the flashback of why Frank won't cook is because he was a cook for the military back during the Korean War. And he was given some old meat, 600 pounds of Texas beef that was a couple weeks old, or 3 weeks past. And so he thought, yeah, I don't want to waste it. So I'll just do a bunch of seasoning and cook the shit out of it. But he ends up making his entire troop wildly ill.
Look, the flashback is shot in a way that it's like shot in like an Oliver Stone type of like slow motion with people retching and gagging as if they're dying.
It's
pretty funny. Yeah, and the flashback still has old ass Jerry Stiller in the role, right? Like they didn't recast him with a younger guy, which is another layer of comedy on top of this.
Yeah, absolutely. So back in Jerry's apartment, he's like, his girlfriend's like, yeah, I think it's over. Like I can't be this woman's mentee anymore. And she's like, I just can't. And Jerry's like, oh, well, you know, like I can tell you what to do. And she's like, yeah, I need an advisor. I can't be with you either. You know, because this woman is like telling her everything about her entire life, which is utterly fucking ridiculous. George walks in on this and he's like, maybe I can insert myself and try to be her mentor, which he does. Elaine keeps promoting that psychopath that she works with. And, you know, Frank has decided he's gonna start cooking again. He's gotten over his bullshit. George starts being the mentor to Abby. Jerry runs
basically to get her to find out everything she can about risk management and tell it to him. Because George's goal in life is to avoid work, which I can respect. I get it.
Yeah.
Jerry takes on, so Cynthia dumps Banya's girlfriend, the mentor, dumps him because she saw his act, right? And she's like, yo, I cannot be with someone who's talking about fucking chocolate milk for 12 minutes. And he comes to Jerry for advice. So Jerry is the mentor and Banya is the mentee. George has a mentee in Abby. Elaine essentially has a mentee in the fatigues guy. You would think this episode would be called The Mentor. And that's, you know, the story kind of just kind of chugs along for a bit. And then you get a scene of Elaine and army fatigue guy. What the hell is his name? They're in a cafe and they're talking. And she's like, so what's up with all this dark imagery and, you know, fatigues and, you know, what's up with this? And he's like, well, I was dating a girl and, you know, she thought it was going good and things kind of cooled off. And that's it.
That's it.
And she's like, what? And he's like, well, you know, it's hard to find somebody you like, especially when you're Jewish, right? So here we go. The story is kind of tying itself up. So we're all at this Jewish singles night, right? Fatigue guy is talking with the mentor. And he's like, oh, yeah, I've just been promoted to, you know, VP of blurb writing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's like, wow, you got promoted from the mailroom to, you know, this high position in a week. And, hey, I'd like to hire you. And he's like, great. So he goes to Elaine. He's like, Elaine, essentially, I quit. And he's doing that while eating some bread. And Elaine, you know, Elaine is very physical, right? She's wanting to grab you, right? And she's like, I need you. And she grabs him while he's eating and he's fucking choking on the bread because it went down the wrong pipe. Meanwhile, Frank is there and he sees this guy choking in fatigues. And it gives him PTSD.
This is the
best part of the show, of the episode. And he sees it in that war film you know, style. And he starts shouting and screaming at the top of his lungs. And then he's just running to every table. He's just like, don't eat it, don't eat it, don't eat it. And Jerry Stiller, even at this age, is a really fantastic physical comedian.
He's
running his ass over there, you know, telling people not to eat it. Then he runs over to the buffet and he flips the buffet, and we get a nice, cool freeze frame of Jerry Stiller flipping the table over, ending this episode with a laugh.
Yeah, that was very good. It's not a great episode, but it is a very, very good, it is a good ending. Like it works. The tie-in is actually pretty good at the end. All right. That is it for us. We will be back next week for another episode.
See ya.
Take it easy. Bow, 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 bow.
Really?